continue to minister to some of our youth and families as we have our hockey and hot dogs night on Thursday at 5:30, and we're just looking forward to a good time there of connecting with neighborhood families and kids and youth. We also want to remind everyone that prayer does not take a summer vacation, but Thursday night at 7 o'clock, we'll be meeting here for a time of intercessory prayer, and it's a great time as we gather together. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn in a moment to the book of Acts. We're taking a little bit of a detour with the thought of being outside and it being our finale kind of celebration for VBS, and knowing that Roland and Catherine were going to do such a great job and bringing out a camp meeting kind of theme this morning, I wanted to keep my message to the theme of our VBS this week as well as the theme of camp meeting. So if you'll indulge me this morning, I want to share on one of the themes that was taught this past week. Jesus' power gives us hope. Jesus' power gives us hope. And the very first question I want to start with that I want you to think about today is, what are you holding on for hope today? I have a confession. I love storms. I love storms. Ever since I was a little kid, I remember sitting on our front patio and I would watch the clouds turn from gray, from white to gray to black to that really weird greenish, purplish color, and I would hear the thunder and the lightning, and the rain would come pouring down. Man, for me, that was just one of the ultimate things that I could experience. My mom, on the other hand, was not a storm person, and she would just grab me and pull me into the house where she felt we would be safe. But I loved storms growing up. Well, things began to change. My attitude towards storms began to change later on when I was in my mid-20s, and I had a friend with a sailboat. And one day he invited myself and two other friends to join him on a 3-day sailing trip from Toronto Harbor to the sandbanks about an hour's drive east of Kingston. And so we made our trip. It was a beautiful sunny day when we set out. The wind was just perfect. We were enjoying ourselves. And as we got further and further away from Toronto Harbor, and we saw the shoreline of Lake Ontario in the distance, and we were just enjoying ourselves until we saw those clouds coming. And the wind started to change. The temperature started to change. The waves started to get a bit more choppy. And we began to go up and down and up and down and swift back and forth. And the rain came down. We heard the thunder. And folk, my love for storms really changed that day. What are you holding on to today? Are you in a storm? Some of you may be in a storm. Some of you may have come out of a storm. Rest assured, we're all going to enter one at some point. So the question is, what are you holding on to for hope? Dr. Luke and the Apostle Paul, they understood storms. They experienced the mother of all storms. We can read about it in Acts chapter 27. In fact, we're going to read it together as Luke shares his testimony of what happened and how God brought them out. The verses are on the screen behind me, but you can look. I'm reading from the Living Bible. So let's just read along whatever translation you have or on the screen with me as Luke gives his testimony of the storm that he had to go through. As soon as arrangements were complete for our sailing to Italy, Paul and a few other prisoners were placed under the supervision of a centurion named Julius, a member of an elite guard. We boarded a ship from Adramidium that was bound for Ephesus and ports west. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, went with us. The next day we put out to Sidon. Julius treated Paul most decently, letting him get off the ship and enjoy the hospitality of his friends there. Out to sea again, we sailed north under the protection of the northeast shore of Cyprus because winds out of the west were against us, and then along the coast westward to the port of Myra. There, the centurion found an Egyptian ship headed for Italy and transferred us on board. We ran into bad weather and found it impossible to stay on course. After much difficulty, we finally made it to the southern coast of the island of Crete and docked at Good Harbor. By this time, we had lost a lot of time. We had passed the autumn equinox, so it would be stormy weather from now on through the winter, so dangerous for sailing. Paul warned, "I see only disaster ahead for cargo and ship, to say nothing of our lives if we put out to sea now." But it was not the best harbor for staying the winter. Phoenix, a few miles further on, was more suitable. The centurion set Paul's warning aside and let the ship captain and the ship owner talk him into trying for the next harbor. When a gentle southerly breeze came up, they weighed anchor. Thinking it would be smooth sailing, they were no sooner out to sea than a gale-force wind, the infamous nor'easter, struck. They lost all control of the ship. It was a cork in the storm. We came under the lee of the small island named Clauda and managed to get a lifeboat ready and reef the sails. But rocky shoals prevented us from getting close. We only managed to avoid them by throwing out drift anchors. Next day, out on the high seas again and badly damaged now by the storm, we dumped the cargo overboard. The third day, the sailors lightened the ship further by throwing off all the tackle and provisions. It had been many days since we had seen either sun or stars. Wind or waves were battering us unmercifully, and we lost all hope of the rescue. I'm going to stop right there. Can you identify with the feeling of those sailors and Paul and Luke? Have you been in a storm? Are you in a storm? What are you holding on to hope? Have you lost all hope? Luke goes on, with our appetite for both food and life long gone, Paul took his place in our midst and said, "Friends, you really should have listened to me back in Crete. We could have avoided all this trouble and trial, but there's no need to dwell on that now. From now on, things are looking up. I can assure you that there'll not be a single drowning among us, although I can't say much for the ship. The ship itself is doomed. Last night, God's angel stood at my side, an angel of this God I serve, saying to me, 'Don't give up, Paul. You're going to stand before Caesar yet, and everyone sailing with you is going to make it.' So, dear friends, take heart. I believe God will do exactly what he told me, but we're going to shipwreck on some island or other. On the 14th night, adrift somewhere in the Adriatic Sea, at about midnight, the sailor sensed that we were approaching land. Sounding, they measured a depth of 120 feet, and shortly after that, 90 feet. Afraid that we were about to run aground, they threw out four anchors and prayed for daylight." And I'm going to end our reading right there. What a storm. What a testimony. What an experience. I know myself, I wouldn't want to be in the midst of a storm like that. And I know we have some sailors here today. We have some boaters. And maybe you can tell stories of similar kind of storms. But man, talk about the fear, the uncertainty. The sense of hopelessness, unable to do anything about it. We read that the sailors themselves, trying to save themselves, throw out four anchors into the sea in an attempt to steady the ship, but it was all for naught. Not even those could withstand the force of this storm. How many of us, we trust in anchors, hoping that they'll get us through? Education, money, pleasure, our families, even the church. We put our anchors in these things, but the storm seems to be so heavy that not even these things that we try to put our hope in seems to be able to hold. We need a stronger anchor. And aren't you glad that as followers of Jesus, we have the greatest anchor of all? Psalm 31:24 encourages us, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." And some of you may be going through a marital storm. Some of you, it could be a financial storm or perhaps a health storm. Whatever the storm is, I want to encourage you today that there is an anchor of hope that God has provided for you, an anchor that will withstand any and every storm, no matter how powerful it is, that it will get you through. For those who are online this morning, we want to encourage you today to remember, no matter where you are, whatever storm you're going through, that you're not alone, and God has provided you an anchor to hold on to trust in, that's going to get you through the fiercest storms of life. You know, there are dates in our lives that, to quote a famous president, go down in infamy. Dates that we immediately remember and trigger a generation. For example, November 22nd, 1963. JFK. July 16th, 1969. Neil Armstrong on the moon, exactly. September 11th, 9/11, the attack on the World Trade Center, how our world changed after that. Here's one that may actually erupt emotions of PTSD in some. May 2nd, 1967. The last time Toronto won the Stanley Cup. And just to add insult to injury, Montreal beat Toronto in that game. I want to give you another date that most of you here, probably it'll just be another date. It was June 17th, 1994. Viewers across Canada and the United States were glued to their television sets, watching as a fleet of black and white police cars pursued a white Ford Bronco along Interstate 405 in Los Angeles. Inside the Bronco was O.J. Simpson, a former professional football player, actor, and sports commentator whom police suspected in the brutal murders of his former wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ronald Goldman. I tell that story because it serves as a spiritual landmark for a point in my life. Our friend Deborah from Kingston is here with us. She was in Kingston when this, and there I was waiting for further examination. I was there in the emergency on my back looking up at these tiles. Did you know that there's about 1,832 holes in one of those tiles? I was resting comfortably when Sue finally arrived. My board member had called her, and one of the young people came to look after the kids so Sue could come back to the hospital to be with me. And just as she's coming in, it was a nursing change, and I'm at that place where, you know, I'm just kind of drifting. You've been there, where you're just kind of asleep, but you hear things around you, but you're asleep, and you're about to drift off, and she comes in with her pain. Why do they do this, Trevor? I think it's really mean. She came in with this pen and starts rubbing my feet. And it's like that my feet are the most ticklish part of my body. I don't know who hit the ceiling first, me or her. We were waiting for the doctor to come in, and Dr. Ellis, who is the head of neurosurgery, in fact, I found out he was the top neurosurgeon in the country at that time. He told Sue and I that I would be remaining overnight, and the next morning get an MRI to assess the nerve and muscle damage to my neck and prepare me for surgery. They were planning to install the halo, and not an angelic heavenly halo, the one that makes you look like Frankenstein. And I tell you, that thought scared me more than breaking my neck. I never told Sue this until afterwards, but after she had left the room to let me sleep, and I was just praying and just having it out with God and thinking, why was I so reckless? God, why did you let this happen? What's going to happen to me and my family? How am I going to tell them this? Will I ever walk again? Will I ever pastor again? Lord, this isn't fair. Finally went to sleep, and the next morning, they wheeled me into the room. You ever been in one of those machines? They wheel you in, and it's like the transporter room from Star Trek. In fact, I remember saying to the tech, okay, beam me up, because it goes like this, and it takes pictures of your head, your whole body. And I remember as they were wheeling me down, I just finally whispered a prayer of surrendering, saying, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know why this has happened. I don't know what's going to go on, but Lord, I'm in your hands. I trust you. I would really not like to have the halo, by the way. But Lord, if that's what's going to be, I will simply trust you. Well, that was done. I was wheeled back up to my hospital room, and Sue was waiting for me, and I don't remember how long it was, but finally Dr. Ellis came into our room, and he looked at the MRI, looked at us, looked at it, looked at me again, and said, well, we looked at your head and we didn't find anything. You got it. I told this story to the boys and girls all day. None of them got that. I'll never forget Dr. Ellis's words. He says, we're going to send you home. We're going to give you, we're going to fit you for a proper neck brace that you'll have to wear for a year or so. Not quite, but about a year. And you'll go through physio and all of that stuff. But he says, Reverend, I've got to say something to you. I am Jewish, but I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. But all of us who have been watching you, and I had board members come that night. They prayed over me. One of the young people, and listen, get this. I had one. Every youth pastor, every youth group has one teenager in his group that drives them nuts. And that was this teenager. He came. He came to see me. He came to be with me. And he was one of these ones we were really praying for, because he was at that place where, you know, he didn't know if he was going to serve God or not. And I will never forget him praying for me. Dr. Ellis said, we know you've got people praying for you, and we've been saying, if we've ever seen a miracle, we're looking at it right now. You should not have walked in here, let alone walking out of here. I went home that day not knowing what I would face, but the short story is that I only had to wear that neck brace 4 months. The x-ray I had at that point showed that the bone had healed so neatly that only a trained eye would be able to see the evidence of any fracture. And today, the only evidence that I still have, I can predict the weather. God very graciously brought me through that storm. In fact, that was a very stormy year. That was the year Sue's mom passed away. That was the year, a week before my accident, my senior pastor resigned, and in those days, when the senior resigned, everyone resigned. I was without a job. We had nowhere to go, we thought. But I want you to know, and many people ask me, Pastor, why do you think God allowed that to happen? Oh, I had so many pundits, you know, give me their expert advice as to why it may have happened. I had people saying to me, Satan is out to kill you. Well, I've learned over life that I'm not that significant that Satan would actually be concerned about me personally. I had people say to me, Pastor, if you have enough faith, I had so many gracious, wonderful words of blessing. I'll put it that way. But at the end of the day, when you ask me why that happened, I have to honestly tell you, I don't know. I don't know all of the reasons why, but this much I can tell you. I can testify that God never left me. From the moment we drove from that house in that Chevette down Montreal Street, and I walked into that hospital and they took those x-rays, God's presence was with me. He was helping me. His spirit was telling me, don't move your head. He was with me in providing the best doctor possible in the whole country. He was with me as he provided. We had young people who came to help with Philip, Esther, and Michael. God was with us in providing a friend of ours from Ottawa who took the summer off work to come down because I couldn't do anything. The kids were young enough. She came down, took the summer off, took our kids with her to their trailer in the Ottawa Valley and looked after them. We had everything prepared, everything ready. God provided for us financially. God provided for us. It was right after that we started going to City Christian Center, Deb. And in fact, one of the songs, where's Roland? In the back row, you didn't know this. But that song, Faithful One, was one of the very first songs they were singing when we came into that church that day. And folk, I can tell you, he is faithful. No matter what storm you're going through today, no matter how hard the winds are blowing, he's faithful. He's going to keep you. He's going to bring you through. So be strong. Take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So what are you holding on to today? Those men in that ship threw out four anchors that were lost in the Mediterranean or the Adriatic Sea. But Paul stood up and his testimony was he had four anchors that he held on to, four anchors that I tried to hold on to during that summer. There's the strong anchor of God's presence. When you're going through the storm, remember, God is always with you. Secondly, you have the strong anchor of God's promise. He's promised never to leave you or forsake you. He will be with you. You have the strong anchor of the plan of God. Yeah, God switched my plans a little bit, but man, I will always, always cherish the plan in coming to City Christian Center because it changed my whole trajectory of ministry. And we have the strong anchor of God's power. He's real, my friends. He's with you today. In the storms of life, Jesus' power gives us hope. Can you say amen? Can you praise the Lord? Let's stand. Let's give him thanks today. Let's give him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory and honor and praise. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. And I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's in this room today. Lord, some of us have just come out of a storm. Some of us, Lord, are in it right now. Others, God, Lord, you're preparing us for that storm. But I thank you, Lord, no matter what storm we have your presence, your promise. You'll fulfill your plan and you'll grant us your power to withstand the fiercest storm that life can give. And I give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you're going through a storm, just would you be willing to just lift yourself to the Lord and surrender yourself to God right now and trust in him right now. He's going to bring you through, my friend. He's going to bring you through in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask you to remain standing, and Roland is going to roll.